Our sermon this morning is titled, Iniquity in the Christian Church. The Christian Church is in grave danger, and the majority of the faithful are unaware of the fact, with many of its leaders abandoning the fundamentals of the faith, a diminishing membership, and a chronic shortage of funds. The once vibrant Christian church is now in serious danger. In ancient days, the church was the respected leader of the community. But that has changed. Many church leaders have become an irrelevance. They are common fodder for radio and TV comedy, and they are an embarrassment to the faithful. To be sure, on the surface, the church looks well. Its ornate buildings are visited by thousands of admirers every day. Its clergy parade in the most gorgeous robes, and its services echo with the finest music. But this is merely outward show. It masks a creeping disease, which is bringing death to multiplied millions of precious souls. That deadly disease is iniquity. An age-old spiritual disease, rarely diagnosed and always denied. The aim of this sermon is to identify this disease and point to the only remedy available. I can assure you who are listening that failure to apply this Bible-backed cure will be catastrophic, to say the least. The Savior's assessment of the Laodicean church, the ancient icon of an apathetic church, is as follows. In Revelation 3, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. These are serious words to every member of the Christian church. Let us all examine ourselves under the microscope of Holy Writ. Before we take a close look at the spiritual disease called iniquity, let me first list three fundamentals which believers ignore at their peril. They are, number one, Yahweh, the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, does not change. His requirements are the same today as they were in the days of Moses. Behavior defined as iniquity in ancient days is still iniquity today. He says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Number 2. Worship not authorized by the Almighty is vain and futile. It accomplishes nothing of any value. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men." You'll find that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Number 3. Yahweh, the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is about to root out pagan worship from his church. In Matthew 15, verse 13, we read of this: "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." Though a being of immeasurable compassion, the Most High will not tolerate falsehood in his worship. He will sooner or later root it out. Bear those three facts in mind. The dictionary defines the word iniquity as great wickedness. But what is wickedness? The scriptures define wickedness as sin, as the transgression of Yahweh's law. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Unlike ordinary sin, which is often committed in ignorance or on the spur of the moment, iniquity is premeditated sin, which is engaged in with full knowledge, often with a measure of defiance and even contempt. In short, iniquity is open and willful defiance of the Almighty's law. Iniquity has terrifying results. Most people are unable to trace those results back to their underlying cause, iniquity. Listen to the Almighty's invitation to the wise men of past ages to trace the real cause of his people's problems. Can you see the parallels in our day? In Jeremiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 12, "Who is the wise man, that thou mayest understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And the Lord saith, Because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink." In Jeremiah chapter 16, beginning in verse 10, "And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these things, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. In other words, the root cause of ancient Israel's ills was willful disobedience of Yahweh's law. The Christian church is no better. She is just iniquitous, if not more so. In this sermon this morning, I will list a few of the blatant sins in the church which can be classified as iniquity. Sins which multiplied millions of churchgoers engage in every week of the year with impunity. Sins which are the root cause of the church's present problems. Idolatry. The dictionary defines the word idol as the image of a god, and idolatry as the worship of idols. In the second of the Ten Commandments, this matter of making and worshiping images is forbidden in these words. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. This commandment is being blatantly broken today. Millions of churchgoers bow down to idols every week. They kiss images and statues of the Virgin Mary and various other saints and honor relics and man-made objects of worship in churches around the world. The publishers of some Bible translations have even deleted this commandment from the Bible so that their readers will not know they are guilty of idolatry. Go into the great churches of Europe and look about you, and you will see idols, pictures, statues, images, and trappings, too numerous to mention. All these graven images, paintings, icons, representations, crucifixes, and idols of things in heaven above and the earth below are a violation of the Almighty's law. They are modern idolatry, pure and simple. And those who justify their use in Christian worship are guilty of iniquity. Illicit sex. Illegal sexual activity is another area where iniquity is taking over the churches. Never a week passes but news of some church minister, pastor, or priest caught committing illegal sex hits the headlines. Instead of being removed from office, these clerics are simply moved on another parish where they continue their sexual sins amidst another flock. Adultery, fornication, and homosexuality are rife in the Christian church and is being silently condoned. Millions of priests are forbidden to marry, yet another man-made restriction which contradicts Bible teaching. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Sabbath breaking. Perhaps the most blatant of all sins committed in the Christian church is the breaking of the fourth commandment, which requires mankind to observe Yahweh's, Almighty God's, seventh day Sabbath, Saturday. The Ten Commandments are a transcript of the Almighty's character. They tell us how the Almighty wants us to live. They define righteousness and sin. They form the constitution of the mighty universe. They were given for all mankind, not just the nation of Israel. The Bible tells us over and over again that Yahweh's law is eternal, perfect, holy, just, and true. Jesus Christ stated in his famous Sermon on the Mount that the present universe would pass away before a single letter of his Father's law could be changed. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And yet, wonder of wonders, punny men posing as the vicars of Christ have foolishly attempted to change the Sabbath commandment, which the Savior clearly stated would outlast the present universe. They have instituted a bogus Sabbath, Sunday, and with self-deluding confidence continue to teach that it is in order to ignore the seventh day Sabbath of the Almighty God. Pause a while and try to imagine the enormity of this sin. Do you suppose that the Almighty God will remain silent for long? For those of you listening to my voice this morning, let me quote the Sabbath commandment. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Let me remind you that the seventh day of the week is Saturday, not Sunday. Yes, believe it or not, multiplied millions of Christians are breaking the Almighty Sabbath commandment every week. Many without even knowing it. But now that you know, bear in mind that Almighty God wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger on tablets of stone, an act which signifies their eternal importance. Pagan festivals in disguise. Another iniquitous practice the Almighty is going to weed out of the Christian worship is the celebration of man-made religious festivals. Christmas, Ash Wednesday, Easter, the Feast of the Nativity of St. John, Whitsun, Halloween, Lady Day, the Feast of the Assumption, etc. All these religious festivals have absolutely no scriptural authority whatsoever. They are pagan festivals in disguise. Just visit your local reference library and you will confirm this astonishing claim. Many of you listening to me will ask, but hasn't the law been fulfilled and done away with Jesus Christ? The answer is no. No, it has not. One doesn't do away with a law by fulfilling it. The word fulfill means to accomplish, to carry out, to obey. A prophecy may become obsolete once it is fulfilled, but not a law, and most certainly not one of the Ten Commandments. The seventh-day Sabbath was instituted at the creation of the world for all mankind. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It is an eternal covenant between the Creator and His followers, and it will be observed throughout eternity by the redeemed host. You'll find that in Exodus chapter 31, verses 13 to 15. And also you will find it in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. Obedience doesn't do away with any command. If anything, it establishes it. All you have to do is ask any solicitor if you have any doubts about these fundamental facts about law. The Savior fulfilled every one of the Ten Commandments, which means He obeyed them all. Dare we suggest that in doing so, He did away with the other nine as well as the seventh-day Sabbath command? The very idea is absurd, and a sad reflection on how many deceived Christian leaders there are. The Bible tells us that the heart, the human heart, the mind, is carnal and desperately wicked. Beware, you do not deceive yourself. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Take heed. The Bible tells us that the Almighty is going to break his silence and punish the world for the flagrant violation of his law and the rejection of his mercy. When he does that, the world is going to witness scenes of great distress. We're told of this in Isaiah chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. The time has come for you and I to repent and to give up violating the Almighty's commandments. It may well be that in days gone by, you knew little or nothing of the serious sins of iniquity I am speaking about this morning. But now you know. You can no longer plead ignorance, idolatry, sexual sin, and Sabbath breaking are all serious sins in the eyes of the Almighty God. Doubtless, they are popular and multiplied millions of Christians engaged in them every week. But they are still iniquitous and far more serious than any believer can remotely imagine. Failure to give them up, especially when one is aware of their nature, will be catastrophic. What should we do now? Now that we know about these things? The answer is simple. If you find that you have been, albeit inadvertently, caught up in these sins, then you must repent and forsake them. The Most High is a being of great love and compassion. He is more willing to forgive sin than we humans are to confess them. He has absolutely no desire whatsoever that his children perish in the plagues of wrath, which are about to fall on mankind. In 2 Peter, verse 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yahweh, Almighty God, is willing to forgive. He is anxious to forgive. He is waiting to forgive. But he will not forgive your sins unless you confess and forsake them. I repeat, You must confess and forsake your sins. Your confession, incidentally, must be made to God in private, not to a fellow human being. Faith, repentance, confession, and forgiveness and obedience are all stages in the process of salvation. My advice to you, as well as myself, is to break off our sins before it is eternally too late. Sin is a pleasurable but dangerous pastime, which has awesome consequences, too terrible to imagine, let alone describe. You must forsake sin if you want to live eternally. It can be done. It is being done by millions of folk all over the world who are having their eyes open to truth. Never a day passes but someone, somewhere, becomes aware that they have been breaking the holy commandments of God on a regular basis. The Spirit of the Most High is opening the eyes of people all over the world. Tens of thousands are now giving up idolatry, sexual sin, and Sabbath violation. My question to each and every one of you listening to this sermon this morning is, are you willing to be one of them? Do you have the courage to stand up for the truth in an age when millions are more frightened of their fellows than the opinion of God? It could well be that you have the courage it takes to stand up for the truth. I don't know, but I hope so. The Almighty God of Israel offers mercy to all through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Let me encourage you to accept His offer today. Very briefly, my and your course of action should be as follows. Accept salvation through faith in Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Do it now. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." A personal decision. In Psalm 51, verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And begin to obey Yahweh's, the Almighty God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's commandments. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, and he, Jesus, said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. These are the steps we must take before it is too late. I'll end with a prayer that the Spirit of the Most High will be with you as you consider this challenging message brought to you this Sabbath morning. Bear in mind that your first step is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That is the foundation truth of the Christian message. Your next step is to demonstrate your faith by obeying the commandments of God. For where there is no obedience, there is no faith. May the Almighty bless you as you seek to do His will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have come to the end of this Sabbath day service. We give you thanks that we have been able to come into your presence and to hear your word. Father, we would at this time ask once again that the disease of iniquity be soon removed from this evil world in which we live. You are good and upright, O Lord. All your ways are of mercy and of truth. And now, Father, as we go our separate ways for another week, we give you thanks. We ask for your protection. We would ask that you bring us back safely into your presence on the next Sabbath day. We ask this in Christ's holy and righteous name. Amen.